Those of you who have had major surgery know that the hospital staff will quickly get you up and walking as quickly as possible. There is a problem that happens occasionally, however. It's hard to get up and around with all those IVs and tubing attached to your body. If you want to take a walk, you need a helper to make sure that all those tubes and stuff don't get tangled up. Well, a pastor spoke of such an incident one time, and he said, and I'll quote here, "The last time I was in the hospital, I needed a helper, and when I wanted to go mobile, one of the more interesting helpers was a young man from Kenya. When this young man learned that I was a pastor, he asked a very good question. When I came to this country, I noticed that all the beautiful church buildings as I traveled across the country. But how is it that this country can have so many churches and still be so morally evil? The parable of the sower was the first thing that came to the pastor's mind. And when it comes to the problems that we have in the United States today, Jesus nails it on the head with the parable of the sower." End quote from the pastor. Well, as you heard in our gospel lesson today, there are different types of soil, four different types of soil, according to the gospel lesson. By the way, we have all four of these soils in Yuma in abundance. We have the hard path, the rocky soil, the weedy, also called the thorny soil, and the good soil. Now, Jesus explains that the seed that was attempted to be planted, the seed to be sown, is the Word of God. The hard path represents people who have hard hearts, where the Word of God does nothing, and the devil steals it away quickly. The rocky soil represents people who get very excited about being in the church, but they aren't all that interested in letting the Word put its roots deep into their hearts. The weedy soil represents people who also get excited about being in the church, but the things of the world, the corruption, the evil, this prevents the Word from putting its roots deep into their hearts. And finally, there is the good soil. And that represents people who do nothing themselves, but the Word puts its roots down deep. And these are the only ones who produced a yield. Now, it's really easy to criticize the people who have no exposure to the Word of God because it does not penetrate and the devil steals it away in due time. Now, that would be okay if we're interested in the pagans outside in the world, but the pastor's Kenyan friend asked about what was wrong in the church. Basically, he was saying, if there are so many churches, why haven't they had more of an effect on our society here? Well, here we have to look at the rocks and the thorns, and when we examine the state of the church in the United States today, we do see a lot of pastors who are satisfied to let their members be rocky or weedy soil. We know the rocky soil represents those who are not interested in having the Word of God send its roots deep into their hearts. And Jesus said about these folks, "The rocky ground is the one who hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy." These people actually become Christians for a while. At first, things are looking pretty good for them. Then Jesus says, "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while." And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the Word, immediately he falls away. So their faith does not last. It's true of a lot of people. Why? Well, because the Word of God has no root. They resist the opportunity to let the Word grow deep into their hearts. The rocky soil, more than any other, appears to describe Christianity in the U.S. today. When Jesus rose from the dead, he spoke to his disciples and said these words, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." When we look at what passes for the proclamation of Christ's message in many North American churches nowadays, we don't hear that proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Christ. Instead, we hear what some may refer to the American bandstand style of Christianity. Now, I'm looking out in the audience here, and I know there's more than a few of you that remember that TV show, American Bandstand, okay? For the most part, the show played popular music. It showed teenagers dancing to the music. And you all remember the host's name. He just passed away a few years ago. Dick Clark. Seemed like he never aged. Well, every so often, Dick Clark would introduce a new band that he had discovered. That was part of his job, to go out there and discover new talent. And he would have them play their newest hit, and then he would interview some of the dancers after the music was played and ask them what they thought of the song. Well, the answers were pretty much the same. It kind of went like this. Well, I like it because it's fun. It has a good beat, and you can dance to it. Well, it's called American Bandstand, after all. It didn't seem that anybody cared if there was a message in the words. In fact, very likely a lot of people didn't really understand or hear the words as presented in the song. What mattered was that it was a fun song, and maybe to a lesser extent that it was a new song. Well, that's all well and good if you're judging top 40 hits. On the other hand, it's a disaster when churches are seeking to be popular instead of faithful, when churches are seeking to be fun instead of informative. Who cares if the preacher proclaims repentance and the forgiveness of sins? All we want is something that is fun, something that has a good beat to it, something that we can dance to, in so many words. Such a proclamation has no root, and of course, when trouble comes, it is of no help or comfort. Sadly, this is the state of many churches in America today. This is one answer to the question, however. How is it that in this country we can have so many churches and still be so morally evil? Jesus also spoke of the weedy or thorny field. Here it is, the cares of the world. The excuse here is a variation of the simple phrase, I'm too busy. One of the variations of this phrase is, well, I'll be in church when I have a little more time. In this case, the person is saying, well, there are one or more things in my life that really are more important than God. It can be compared to idolatry. Do you have to watch the game? Well, then the game is what you're saying. If you live by that lifestyle, the game becomes your God. Do you have to stay out too late partying on Saturday night? Well, then partying is your God. What prevents you from coming here in order to be with Jesus and receive his gifts? Why do you resist the gifts of studying God's Word? Why do you miss out on the gifts of the divine service? Whatever excuse you give, that is your God at that particular moment. Now, the really sad thing about the rocky soil and the weedy soil is that these people actually believe they are Christians. And most of the world would probably consider them Christians as well. But notice that these soils produce no fruit. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. There will be many people who believe that they are faithful Christians right up until they stand before the Lord, only then to discover the tragedy that they are on rocky or weedy soil. Well, the good news is there is good nurturing soil. Jesus states that the Word of God makes its way deep into the heart. This is the means that the Holy Spirit uses to make his way deep into our hearts. Of this Jesus said, "This is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Finally, there is fruit. Here is the faith that withstands the challenges of hard times. Here is the faith that receives comfort in the most troubling of times." Why does Jesus teach that studying the Word of God is so important? The Apostle Paul answers that question in his letter to the church in Rome. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God's salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." When faithful pastors encourage people to study the Word of God, they are merely saying that they want their members to have the power of God to salvation. This is the salvation that Jesus earned for us with his holy life and his sacrifice on the cross. This is the salvation that Jesus Christ earned for us when he died on the cross. And this is the salvation that Christ earned for us when he took the punishment of our sins onto himself and gave us the righteousness of his life to take its place. This is the salvation that our risen Lord wants to give to us freely through his word. When people reject the opportunity to study God's word, they are rejecting the means by which the Holy Spirit works salvation in us. In today's gospel, Jesus simply tells us that he wants his words to put its roots deep into all of our hearts. He wants that word to go so deep that his salvation will go just as deep. When the faithful pastor encourages you to attend Bible class or in other ways worship the Lord, he is simply saying, "I love you enough to want you to have more of Jesus and more of his salvation in your lives." Amen.